My sister's always been a fighter. Whenever she was passionate for something, she'd always strive to be number one. Whether from school, to orchestra, to sports, to Odyssey of the Mind, to FFA, my sister's always been able to both have many passions and excel in each and every one of them. From making a poster for the state fair, to hearing her practice her speeches from upstairs, my sister was always preparing for the next new and exciting thing. She never quit, and her competitive spirit always kept her on the path towards greatness.
I think what I admire the most about Victoria is her dedication to the people around her. And whether that's taking a leadership position back at the University of Florida, taking the time to mentor a younger student, or how she never turns me down for a midnight Taco Bell run, she relentlessly gives herself to anyone who needs a friend.
More than her accomplishments, my sister's always been a role model for me for my entire life. A leader by example for as long as I can remember. I know I wouldn't be the person I am today without her. She's always been a fighter, and she is the embodiment of what hard work can accomplish. I know that she can do anything, and I am proud to be her brother.
It takes a special person to serve so selflessly for an entire year and to dedicate herself to showing students the value in themselves and in those around them. And I'm able to say that Victoria did just that during her year.
At this time, it is our pleasure to introduce to you my sister
and my beloved roommate, Miss Victoria Harris, as she delivers her retiring address entitled
Worth It.
This is my moment. I'm standing at the edge of the stage, ready to deliver the biggest speech of my entire life. This is the epitome of my public speaking career. Months of preparation lead to this moment. Okay, Vic, you got this. You can do this. Let me look at my note cards one more time. Okay, here it goes.
What it would be like to be a true friend. I'm Victoria, and I'm going to give you the steps it takes to be one. True friends are companions who show loyalty to others. Most everyone has friends, but sadly, maybe not true friends. True friends are there for you whenever you need them. If you're weeping with tears, true friends feel your sorrow deep in your heart.
Sadly, that never gets easier to watch. As painful as it is, there is no denying that fourth grade Vic, she cares about this speech. The hours that I've invested in practicing and memorizing are so worthwhile. As with that speech, I made it to county finals. Then fifth grade comes. New year, new me, new speech. This year, instead of true friends, my passion is dream big. And my big dreams crash and burned as I didn't even make it past the school level. I was nowhere close to reliving my spot in county finals. Leaving school that day, I was disappointed. I kept telling myself, Vic, who cares? It's just a stupid little speech contest. The truth is, telling myself that I didn't care was a whole lot easier because it didn't hurt as much. How often in life do we simply decide not to care? To pretend that the moment we're in, the experience we're having, the people we're with, aren't worth our care. And here's a crazy idea. What would this world look like if we actually cared? How would the lives of those around us change if we cared so much that our actions followed suit? And y'all, I am not talking about namby-pamby caring, like the type you put on Care Bears and your kindergarten teacher uses as he shouts, sharing is caring. No, I mean caring that is bold, like leave that fifth grade speaking contest and vow never to speak again caring. Like the ag teacher who stays at school until 10 every night to give her students a better experience. Caring that is time-consuming, messy, uncomfortable, and yet makes everything so worthwhile. It's time that we choose to care. Caring is the one thing that we can do to add immediate value to the lives that we live. We can choose to care about others and to care about ourselves. So, who cares? Well, teachers care, and sometimes this leads them to saying the strangest things, like, "I am not picking that up. Who do you think I am, your mother?" Or, "What about, you can't submit that assignment. It is 3 days late." I'm not saying that teachers are perfect, but just that they care. And sometimes they say things that really do make sense. In fact, I'll never forget sitting as my high school biology teacher, Mr. Ward, said something that would forever change my perspective on him and those around me. Now, for some background, Mr. Ward is one of those once-in-a-lifetime teachers you see in the movies. He's like the character that Robin Williams plays from the Dead Poets Society. I mean, if this was the Lion King, he'd be Rafiki. By the time I straggled into his classroom as a tiny little freshman, and yes, I actually was smaller then than I am now, he had been teaching for over 40 years and literally wrote the textbook we were using. And as a pro tip, anytime a teacher writes a textbook, don't ask if it's required reading. It definitely is. So I'll never forget that day my senior year. As wise, mature, and you could even say thoughtful 17-year-olds, we had it all figured out. We were riding that wave to graduation. I think Mr. Ward could sense we needed a little dose of reality, and he was going to give it to us. Sitting at the edge of his desk, Mr. Ward began telling us about his life growing up in small-town Colorado. His dream is to make it off his... Yeah. His dream is to make it off his family's beef ranch and make it big. So when he gets into Colorado State University, he keeps his nose in his books, he aces his classes, he does so well. And then he gets an acceptance letter. Mr. Ward gets into medical school. This is his chance to make his family proud. That summer, as he's hunkered down preparing for his new life as a medical student, he's going to become a doctor. He's drafted into the Vietnam War. He spends 3 years fighting for the United States, all the while remembering his dream back at home. But when he gets home, there's not time for him to go back to school. There's not really money. He has a family to support. So he picks up teaching, investing everything he has into his students and into his field. Sitting at the edge of his desk, Mr. Ward tells us that sometimes he still imagines what his life would look like if he was a doctor. I can't believe it, Mr. Ward, he would have been the best doctor. This is so unfair. He did everything right. He studied, he worked hard, he aced his classes, he even served his country. It seems like I'm more upset than he is. What's wrong with him? That day, I'm leaving school and I'm walking out thinking about a story, and I keep looking at this little black bracelet. It happened to be something Mr. Ward gave us freshman year. It feels like ages ago. It says, "Always success, never failure." And then it clicks for me. Mr. Ward's mantra, always success, never failure. It wasn't about achieving goals. It wasn't even about becoming a doctor. It was a statement about caring, about choosing how and what we care about. Because when we care, we can't really fail. Mr. Ward's life may not have turned out how he thought it would, but he was far from failure. His life as a teacher wasn't a consolation prize for what he could have had as a doctor. His life investing in students is a vibrant and powerful way for him to impact the world around him. Mr. Ward proves that others are worth caring about, that living for ourselves does absolutely nothing to fulfill us. The caring, it allows us to listen and makes us vulnerable and allows us to gain empathy and perspective and perhaps most importantly, it inoculates us against the lie that this entire world benefits when we work in our own self-interest. That somehow our problems and our lives are bigger and more important than the people around us, because they're not. But if we're being honest with ourselves, how good of a job do we really do caring for those around us? Especially when our circumstances aren't going well. When everything we thought we wanted is out of reach. Why does caring for others so often revolve around how we're doing? Don't devalue the opportunities that you have every day to care for those around you. From investing in a younger student, to listening to your teachers, to encouraging a teammate, we all have the opportunity to care for those around us. Others are worth caring about because it allows the lives that we live to be just as meaningful and powerful as Mr. Ward's. This year, as I've traveled, I've been able to meet plenty of FFA members who know what it means to care. While traveling to camps and conferences in New York, in Nebraska, yet it was in the home of the best pink lemonade around, Kentucky, where I met someone who helped me understand what I'd been feeling all year. Her name was Morgan, and she hated the high ropes course. Now, of all places in Kentucky's glorious camp, that is exactly where we met. Truth be told, I was so impressed by Morgan. If y'all can believe this, she didn't even sign up for the high ropes course. Her advisor threw her into it without even asking her if she wanted to do it. She could have quit or backed down, and I wouldn't have judged her. Those elements were hard. Yet every day, Morgan showed up, allowing herself to be challenged by something that she feared. So this is our high ropes course class, and Morgan is the one immediately to my left. And so on the last day of camp, we are tasked with the biggest climb yet. Scale a 30-foot tower. Stand on top, leap into the air, and grab a trapeze pole 5 feet away, all while being belayed, aka secured for dear life, by fellow campers. Easy, because the 30-foot tower wasn't hard enough. So Morgan's a little afraid of heights, just like me, but we get this routine figured out on the last day. Morgan tells us she isn't going to do it, and we talk her into it. So after doing this, Morgan hooks herself to the element. Today's different. You can just tell that Morgan is set on finishing this course. She starts going up. Pretty soon, she's standing on top. We don't even have time to comprehend what happens next. Morgan leaps into the air, reaches for the trapeze pole, misses it by a good 3 feet, and is caught by the belay team. We're hugging and laughing as Morgan makes her way to solid ground. You can just tell, even though she didn't reach that trapeze pole, this experience is worthwhile. Later on, I had the ability to talk to Morgan. That ropes course was a highlight of camp. It showed her the abilities and the potential that she had. Yet the only reason that this course had any meaning was because Morgan chose to care by doing something that was uncomfortable and hard. As I'm listening to Morgan talk, I can't help but think, I am just like Morgan, and not because we are both deathly afraid of heights. But like Morgan, I care about my growth. I achieve high expectations because that's what I set for myself. I make the most of every opportunity that I'm in. Many of you probably feel this same way because this is your first convention or you're an officer. Better get the most out of it, right? It's been pretty easy to care about my growth. However, if I'm being honest with myself, I am nothing like Morgan. Morgan is who I want to be outside of an FFA jacket. Morgan welcomes growth, and I hide from uncomfortable situations. I set high expectations because that's what others expect from this jacket. I make the most of every opportunity that I'm in because they only come once this year. Yeah, I care about my growth, but do I really care outside of an FFA jacket? Like Morgan, we need to care about ourselves and challenge ourselves to grow, even when we fall short of our goals, even when things don't turn out the way we've planned, even when we don't have a cheering section. How often do we stand looking at that high ropes course in our own life and think, there is no way I could do that, when we are in fact perfectly capable? Or how many opportunities do we miss waiting for the right moment to decide to care about ourselves? Or, you know, a big question for me, why do we wait for an officer position or national convention or camp or graduation to care? And if we only care in these big moments, what's our life going to look like when that bus stops dropping us off at camp and that jacket is hanging in our closets? Will I still care then? We write these half-hearted goals meant for half-hearted lives, but you are worth an entire narrative. We see the great and mighty and strong and compassionate and capable in others, and yet we fail to realize it in ourselves. If you don't see something beautiful about yourself, get a better mirror. Care to look a little harder. You are worth caring about. Caring about ourselves means pushing ourselves to do more than we ever thought possible. Not till we see ourselves at the center of the universe, but at the helm of our own ships, discovering that universe. Caring about ourselves allows us to learn and grow and improves. It gives us the freedom to stop chasing after perfection and start celebrating our own ability. You, each and every one of you, are worth caring about. We can make the lives that we live meaningful by choosing what we care about. We can choose to care about others and ourselves. We don't have to be perfect people. We just have to be people who decide to care. This year, as I've traveled, I've met plenty of people who know what it means to care. Mr. Bondi, an advisor in Missouri, cares about building a chapter in a community in his FFA chapter. Colin from Colin from right here in Indiana cares about learning more about drones. Austin, an alumni member in Florida, cares about providing opportunities to FFA members long after he's taken off his jacket. Max from North Carolina cares about those around him by living a life of joy and laughter. Mackenzie from Oregon cares about giving opportunities to people of all backgrounds and all abilities. What threads us together is our ability to care. And at some point, this ability is going to become a choice. Here's the deal. Life's going to present you with a lot of times when it's easier not to care. When it'll be easier to let somebody else do it. When it'll be easier to say, it doesn't matter, or who cares? You're going to be faced with this choice to care while sitting in conference rooms and in classrooms and in places of worship. And you get to choose what you care about while listening to your parents and while on first dates and while scrolling through your Facebook feed. And what you decide to care about will determine your ability to think about things other than Taylor Swift's most recent video. And if you'll be easily persuaded by what's popular, and if you can put your life and your community in a broader context, and your choice to care will lead to your actions that when taken together make up the millions of decisions that make your life uniquely yours. And you can make all of this, everything, worth it by choosing to care. Choose to care for those around you. Choose to love them and forgive them and invest in them, even when it's hard and uncomfortable and messy. Others are worth caring about. Have the courage to choose to care about yourself, so that you learn and grow and improve and make things better for those around you. You are worth caring about. Caring is what makes a fifth grade speech contest worth it. Caring makes giving up a lifelong dream to teach students worth it. Caring makes signing up for the wrong class at camp worth it. Caring about others, worth it. Caring about ourselves, worth it. Caring makes the lives that we live worth it. Thank you for showing me what it looks like to care this year. FFA members and guests, we have the opportunities to make the life that we live meaningful and powerful by choosing what we care about. Make the life that you live worth it.